Brother Dana, brother Maya, delivers you best worst case scenario podcast.
Yeah, Star Wars. You
know. It has a lot of futuristic sort of technology that maybe could one day exist.
Yes, that's true. Like the hovercrafts they have and
lightsabers,
the Force.
Well, yeah,
that's pretty much,
that's kind of like magic, but I mean like
telekinesis.
But like the spaceships, like you're saying, the hovercrafts, the
lightsabers,
teleportation.
Yeah, but Star Wars, you got the bad guy who's Darth Sidious, and he's all about that electricity. He's like, kills people.
Do it.
Yeah. He's a sponsored by Nike, did you know?
I thought it was Mountain Dew. He's probably sponsored by both. Because I'm pretty sure they both employ.
If you look closely in the movie,
underpaid people.
He's wearing Nike Air Jordans.
Yeah.
And he's got a t-shirt that says just do it.
He can run pretty fast in this.
Underneath this robe.
Do you think you would be good or bad in Star Wars?
It would completely depend on my upbringing.
Well, I'm asking you based on your current upbringing.
Oh, I'd say I'd be good, but I'd kind of be like the Han Solo type, where I'm for good, but I'm kind of a rogue too.
Kind of sexy.
Kind of like fucking like Jack Sparrow.
And I guess that makes me Chewbacca. Hello, people. Welcome back to another episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast. This is Mayan over here.
This is Dana over here.
And we've cooked you up a real nice dish.
Pile of shit.
We're talking today about someone...
It's overdone.
...in the past. Someone known for their geniusness. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about Nikola Tesla, the father of the future.
Nikola Tesla was one of America's most prolific and ingenious inventors. Just as Thomas Edison is known for the light bulb and Albert Einstein, the theory of relativity, Tesla was primarily known for his contribution to the design and implementation of the alternating currents, an electricity supply system we still use today. In fact, it's estimated that 80% of technology we currently use was invented or conceptualized by Tesla. A key mission in his life was to harness the natural energy of the Earth and generate limitless cost-free energy transmitted wirelessly across the world. Also through his work, he may have discovered other secrets about energy and scientific phenomena, including extraterrestrial communication.
Did you say he harnessed extraterrestrials?
No, he didn't harness them.
What did you say about him? Didn't he harnessed what?
He harnessed the natural energy of the Earth.
To talk to aliens?
No, to supply limitless energy across the world, which in his ideal world would be free.
Wow.
Yes. He should have won the Nobel Prize.
So,
but he didn't.
So this guy had so many things under his belt.
I don't know if he wore a belt.
That were amazing inventions. How smart do you think this guy was?
At least as smart as Einstein.
As smart as us?
As Einstein.
You think he was as smart as Einstein?
In a different way, yeah.
Like he knew where he lived.
I don't know if he knew where he lived, but probably, hopefully. I would say so, because he had a crazy ability for visualization. So kind of like that show Psych, like everything he saw was like burned into his brain. Like he could recall crazy shit.
That's crazy.
Crazy shit.
So he was born in 1856.
He was.
On July 9th through the 10th.
Yeah, yeah. Let's rewind the clocks back to July 10th, 1856.
In Smiljan, part of the Austrian Empire that's now in Croatia, the story is that he was born during a crazy lightning storm. Which is some crazy foreshadowing because he was so devoted to electricity and lightning. So how fitting that there was bolts of lightning, you know, coming around when he was born.
Yeah, that is true. And it was, I think it was right around midnight, actually, when baby genius Nikola Tesla was born.
Pretty auspicious, if you ask me.
And according to legend, actually, on the night of his birth, lightning struck the house, killing both his parents immediately.
Wait, what?
Yeah, but
no,
leaving only a scar on Nikola's forehead.
What bullshit is that, man? I thought you were serious for a second, and I was about to slap you upside the head.
Did you get
Dana.
The reference I just did there? Okay,
I did.
A little scar.
Although you know Harry Potter wasn't killed by lightning, right?
I know, but you know how I meshed it. I just believed it because I said it that
I didn't
way.
Believe it. I believed you believed it.
Well, that's how it happened. According to actual family legend, though, halfway through his birth, the midwife delivering him declared that the lightning was a bad omen. And she said, "This child will be a child of darkness."
Wow, that was like straight from Muad'Dib.
And, which Tesla's mother replied, "No, he will be a child of light."
And that was also straight from the Dune books, man. You could have played the audio
of all of the characters,
man. I was like a perfect Jessica and a perfect Fremen right there.
Yeah.
In one. So back to real stuff. His early years. Let's get into that. Because I know Nikola suffered from frequent illnesses. He was bedridden a lot of the time, and in one extreme case, he was in bed for 9 months.
He was a weak boy, but a strong mind.
Okay, Xavier. And he also,
you have it.
He also suffered from bright flashes of light with hallucinations.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Wait, hallucinations of what?
I don't know. It doesn't say, but...
It doesn't say.
I'm sure.
Radio call.
Doesn't matter. They're hallucinations. They're not real.
How did the hallucinations happen?
I don't know. I think he had some sort of thing, kind of like what you were saying earlier, where he had this ability to imagine stuff. From my understanding, he had a tough time, especially early on, of distinguishing real life stuff from his hallucinations and what he made up in his mind.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later, because that talent of his of visualization actually was... part of the reason why he was so successful as an inventor.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. He was born an ethnic Serb with ancestors from Western Serbia. His father was named Miludin Tesla. His father was a priest of the Eastern Orthodox Church, able to speak 11 to 12 languages.
What a Chad, man.
And he was also known for his exceptional mathematics and memory.
Yeah, now you know why Tesla's smart. It's because his dad was a genius.
Not exactly. His mother, Duka Mandis.
Are we still talking about Star Wars? Or is this, or is this Tesla?
She hails from the Gungans. Usa. Ooh. Ah. Misa thinks. Yeah. No. She had an ability to make handicraft tools for various uses, such as a loom, which supposedly she had never seen before. She just
has something to do with sewing, right?
Yeah, and actually weaving cloth. It's a machine.
Wow.
She made this at home, and she created other mechanical appliances at home.
She's like Violet Baudelaire, man.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, it's impressive because she never received formal education, and pretty much anything that she needed at home, that she was like, okay, there's got to be a way to like streamline this. She just created the invention to make it better.
So he had a genius dad who knew 12 to 12 to 11 languages, and then he had a fucking inventor genius mom.
Yeah.
So, of course, he was a smart baby.
Yeah. Actually, in later years, Nikola Tesla even credited his inventive and photographic memory to his mother's genetics and influence.
It was my madre.
It was my mama. He had genius parents.
It sounds like it. So, the timeline. So, he was born in 1856. In 1870, he studied physics and engineering at the Technical University at Graz. I'm saying that wrong. But
Graz.
But he got there late, which means...
Wait, what year was this?
1870.
Okay.
What are you fucking chewing on there, man? Goddamn. Did you get a mint while we're doing a podcast?
It's just a little bit of ice. What are you doing? A little bit of ice to cool this whiskey down.
Okay, well, let me know when it's done.
It's done.
Okay. So, he got there late, which meant that he couldn't...
He got to school late?
No, to school in general, which means that he couldn't enroll or he couldn't get credits for his classes, but he still went, which sounds like, honestly, the worst sort of deal you could get.
That really does.
If someone said you had to go to school.
What the fuck did he do in school if he wasn't getting credits?
Well, he learned. And that shows, kind of Nikola Tesla's characters. He was just curious about stuff. So he just sat there in the back of the class, taking notes, listening to his teacher's talk, and becoming a genius. You know, all those numbers and equations floating around in his little mind.
Well, so, if we go back a little bit to even his high school years, he was seen as gifted. Apparently, Tesla had the fucking ability to perform integral calculus in his head,
what?
Which has several rules and steps in it involved. I even watched a few videos on YouTube to try to understand it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck?
And he could do it in his head.
In his head. And it made his teachers suspicious he was cheating on tests. But he could just fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's partly with his innate gift to visualize and keep it in his mind for years at a time.
Yeah, and then it just got more and more pronounced because actually, even though he was really smart, he did have a rough time in school because he had a really strained relationship with his dad, Milutin.
What kind of relationship?
A strained one. Because, like you were saying, he was an archpriest of the Eastern Orthodox Church, and he wanted Tesla to become a priest. And so there was a kind of disagreement between them about what Tesla would do with his life.
What exactly did Tesla want to do with his life?
He wanted to study engineering and...
Shock the shit out of
science in general, but especially engineering.
He wanted to electrify the world.
He did. And it only got worse, his relationship with his dad. It only got worse when he dropped out of school.
Picture Hot Rod, guys.
He just wanted to kick his dad's ass.
With Adam Sandberg.
That's all he wanted.
Is it Adam or Andy?
Andy Sandberg.
Andam.
Yeah, man. Maybe they need you to come up with names for the next Star Wars.
Someone's going to name their kid Andam, man.
So he dropped out to gamble, and he lost all his money. And his father, people thought from heartbreak of having his son be a
piece
homeless,
of shit.
Homeless guy.
No job, no nothing.
That is,
what the fuck is he doing?
That his father died of heartbreak.
That's some heavy shit. And he wasn't even able to beat his dad's ass before he died.
And it's kind of inspiring, too, because it shows you that, like, Tesla, even though he went on to do some crazy stuff, he's not perfect. And his past, you know, dropping out of school to gamble and the stuff he dealt with, he had a really tough time of it. So it's not like everything was easy for this guy.
Yeah, and he wasn't perfect, and it was kind of amplified by the fact that his parents, or he felt kind of like this pressure from his parents to be really successful, because earlier in life, when he was 5 years old, he witnessed the death of his older brother, Dane, who was only 12 at the time, but he died in a tragic horse accident.
Damn, like a horse kicked him?
He fell off the horse and died somehow.
Wow.
Probably the horse stomped on him.
Jeez.
But there were some rumors that Nikola had intentionally spooked the horse, not knowing that it would be a fatal repercussion there. Jeez. But regardless, it put a lot of weight and tension on the Tesla family, because he had, aside from his brother, he had three other siblings and they were all girls. So it was a pretty big family of geniuses. But it put a lot of pressure on Nikola to achieve greatness, because Donnie was sort of considered a gifted child too, even more gifted than Nikola.
But he was the older one?
Yeah. Only, what is that math? 7 years older. Imagine if Donnie had survived, what he could have like accomplished. But anyways, this pushed Tesla like really far to do well in high school. And, you know, his like visualization, he was able to memorize shit and all that. And he was able to complete his 4-year degree in three years. So he was taking multiple tests that other kids weren't taking just so he could pass.
He was Tesla.
Oh my god, you got, that's good. That's the first pun,
that's
man.
That's not good.
I love it. So Nikola returned home to Smiljan, and in 1873, he pretty much immediately contracted cholera. Which, you know what cholera is?
You just shit your pants?
Pretty much.
That must be why he developed that machine to get back, to get revenge on the world and make them shit their pants.
The death ray, the poop ray.
But we'll get to that later. So he contracted cholera when he went home.
Yeah, which is, the cholera symptoms is the rapid onset of diarrhea, nausea, and vomiting, which causes dehydration from fluids and can cause erratic heartbeat and sunken eyes.
Pleasant.
Shriveled skin. Yeah, you pretty much fucking die from lack of fluids. So he contracted cholera probably by drinking contaminated water. And for 9 months, he was fucking stuck in bed. And he had multiple near-death experiences, which some people say that that contributed to his genius. That near-death experiences can have profound effects on the mind.
Yeah, because whatever don't kill you make you stronger.
That is right, son. And or stranger. But during his bedridden experience for 9 fucking months, Nikola's father made a promise to send him to the best fucking engineering school or university.
He's like, Papa, Papa, I'm dying. My last wish is to go to engineering school. And then his dad's like, okay, son. And he's like, I'm feeling so much better, you know? I can probably leave tomorrow. Like, let's go.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. He was just stuck in bed waiting for his father to... He was, like, playing chicken. Like, yeah. How long?
Because it did work, and his dad was like, okay. And as soon as he made that decision, then he did get better.
Yeah, because before that, he wanted him to still go enter into priesthood. And his father's promise may have helped motivate Tesla to overcome the illness and continue on his path of inventions.
So later down his path, he, you know, he was going to college. Eventually, I think he started earning degrees for them.
I don't know, man.
Around the early 1880s, so this is quite a bit of time later, Tesla got a job working in telephony.
What?
I think is how you say
that. Sounds like a phony fucking degree right there.
That's good. He got in a job for Continental Edison, which was the development application of telecommunication services for the purpose of electronic transmission of voice, fax, or data.
I wonder if that was owned by Thomas Edison.
No, I think it was. Yeah, because that would later provide an inroad for him when he came to America to get a job working directly with Edison. The thing you have to keep in mind is that this time when Edison got involved in the new electric power industry, it was a time when people were making inventions and discoveries like all the time. So when he got involved, you also had, in 1876, Scottish inventor Alexander Graham Bell patented the telephone.
Ring, ring, bitch.
You had, in 1877, American inventor Thomas Edison invented the phonography. Phonography.
He invented pornography?
Phonography.
Thomas Edison, you rascal.
Which is the record player, or also the turntable. Now it sounds weird.
He was turning heads, that's for sure.
In 1878, first electric street lighting in Paris, France. And that same year, the first hydroelectric plant in Cragside, England.
Damn, Cragside, England?
Cragside.
What do you think the people do there?
They do lots of crag, man.
Lots of crack.
So, yeah. That was a busy time.
Damn. Leaps forward in technology in a small amount of time.
Right.
It's almost as if an alien came down and shared a bunch of blueprints with people.
He did that for a couple years for the Edison, Continental Edison. And then in 1884, he emigrated to the United States and got a job working with Edison at Edison Machine Works in New York City.
He arrived in New York with just 4 cents in his pocket. 4 cents in his pocket, calculations for a flying machine, and his own poems. But the two inventors were pretty much like oil and water in their approach to methods and backgrounds. So it didn't last too long. About 6 months, he was at Machine Works before he quit.
Yeah.
And most people speculate that it was because of a bonus or pay that was promised to Edison for fixing his DC currents and was never paid to him. So he's just like, fuck these people. Like, I'm worth way more. I'm going to go make my own AC.
So, yeah, he found the work to be soulless work. They wanted him to do what they wanted, but he had crazy ideas in his head, stuff that no one could even fathom. They'd shit their pants if they could know what he was thinking about.
He would make them shit their pants, literally.
And so he left, and already in just that 6 months, he had developed contacts in business and people. He got, like, people interested in his work that, from that point, he was able to start making his own companies, start patenting his own inventions and marketing them and selling them across the country.
Yeah, it's estimated that there was about 300 fucking patents that Nikola Tesla had throughout his life and around 700 inventions.
Like, wow.
That's insane. He was constantly inventing.
Yeah. And just to
name, people were sleeping, getting married.
He had, as you were talking about, the AC induction motor unit, which, let's get into this for a second, because
I don't want to.
Edison was the DC guy.
AC/DC, man.
The way
it's based on Nikola Tesla.
The way Edison was marketing his invention of DC, he was the biggest name in the game, and a lot of people were sort of on board with him, but then when Tesla found a way to transmit electrical currents much further with less power plants, and also to do it in a more efficient manner, it was kind of like there was a power struggle, because they were fighting over who would be the person to pretty much light up the United States.
It was like the current wars, right? Well, it didn't have an actual, like, fucking title or like propaganda or news coverage that it was the war of the currents.
Yeah, and Edison had much more resources, so he even did campaigns where he'd, like, shock the shit out of dogs with AC current to prove that it was harmful or dangerous.
That sounds a little far-fetched.
I know, I never liked Edison. So,
that's fucked up, man.
But eventually people were like, well, AC just makes much more sense. It's you have to do less power plants. And today, today, this is what our power grids are set up as.
AC currents.
Is Tesla's invention. So
it's insane that it's still in use today. And he fucking made this his idea for this, like, manifested in like the 1800s.
Yeah. Get dunked on, Edison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swoosh.
So, yeah, he did. He made the AC induction motor unit. He also did early X-ray imaging. He invented that.
Passing radioactive waves through the human body.
Right, which sounds really bad, and I think it is, but it also allows you to catch cancer and do a lot of other stuff.
It allows you to catch cancer while spotting the cancer.
He also made mechanical oscillators, or generators, and wirelessly controlled boats, which has never existed.
Damn.
He
also... Tesla was like the first person to send a transmission from his lab at Houston, in Houston, in New York, to a boat on the Hudson River, which was like 40 or 30 miles away.
Whoa.
And people were like, what the fuck is this magic? Like, he's bullshitting. I bet he's paying those people on that boat to say, we got a transmission here.
Yeah. And that's crazy because later on, he would receive a transmission from Mars.
Oh my God, he did.
In 1901, Tesla made the claim that he was receiving radio communications from Mars. The story was printed by the press, and in an article from the Richmond Times, it was said, he sat there one evening, alone. His attention, exquisitely alive at that juncture, was arrested by a faint sound from the receiver. Three very taps, one after the other, had a fixed interval. And Tesla thought that meant that Mars or Venus or some planet was communicating with him.
Meanwhile, he picked up on somebody's, like, septic system. That is crazy, though, that Nikola Tesla may have communicated or received transmission, may have been the first to receive transmission in our history from extraterrestrial, I don't want to say beings, but like extraterrestrial phenomena. Maybe it wasn't exactly aliens, but it could have been something like planetary.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then lastly, this one is a little bit controversial because there's no hard evidence that he ever made it, but the death ray was something him and even other inventors were working on, and it was this particle generator that would beam stuff through solid objects, and apparently he said you could stop whole entire armies with this thing that could shoot like super far.
It could make you like shit your pants in another country.
Well, not quite, but it's interesting you say that because for a while Tesla became really popular for his inventions.
Yes.
And the wealthy and influential often came to his demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
And he would exhibit his achievements there.
Yes.
And people said he had a certain showmanship in his lectures and
exhibitions. And he was even funny.
They said he was magnetic.
He was.
A little bit electric.
Quite magnetic. Electrifying on stage. Like, Mark Twain was actually a good friend of Nikola Tesla's.
What?
Believe it or fucking not, man.
I don't know, man.
You gotta believe it, because okay. It's fact. It goes back as far as like 1874, when Nikola Tesla became a fugitive temporarily, when he evaded the Austro-Hungarian army and kind of lived in the woods for a little bit.
That's when he met Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah. he met him on the Huckleberry Ferry.
Did he get on his raft?
He got on his raft and rode his raft all around. He evaded the Austro-Hungarian army by living in these mountains in Tomengaj. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But he lived in these mountains for about a year. And
by himself, just eating rabbits, cooking fires.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking cool, man, because he basically avoided a mandatory 3-year service by the military. He later said that for most of the term that he roamed in the mountains, he only had a hunter's outfit and a bundle of books, and the contact with nature made him stronger in body and mind. But during that time in the wilderness, he read some books from Mark Twain. And so fast forwarding back to where we were at, he told Mark Twain how much these books and his stories like helped him and apparently brought Mark Twain to tears.
Yeah, which doesn't sound hard, but...
Man tears.
but
those are hard tears.
I'm saying that for a reason, because I'm not just being immature. Like, he actually did make Mark Twain shit his pants. He had this... maybe not his pants. Almost. But he had this machine that do that. I don't think that was the purpose, but Mark Twain was the one who went on it, and the rest is history.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Today you'll witness my newest, latest, and greatest invention for humanity. Behold! Observe the beauty of the arcing electricity. And, yes?
What's it do?
An excellent question. What does this machine do? Well, it looks badass, am I right? And also, this machine has peculiar effects on the human body. Who here in this audience suffers from constipation? You there, young chap. You look to be constipated.
Amazing. I haven't pooped in a fortnight.
Please, sir, step right up onto this platform. I will now increase the machine's output.
Whoa, I'm definitely feeling something. I feel a curious tingling in my stomach. It feels like...
And voila! I have made a grown man soil himself with my superior intellect. Join the 20th century bowel movement.
Oh! Yes, so Mark Twain may have pooped himself, which is what Nikola Tesla wanted all this time. That's why he created all this tech. Because he actually hated Mark Twain, and that's what fueled him to make all this tech to eventually make this author poop his pants. But back to the inventions. One of the most notable ones actually was called the Wardenclyffe Tower, which was built over 4 years, starting in 1901 and not finished in 1905. Was never completed because of funding cut off by J.P. Morgan.
Wasn't that in Colorado Springs?
It was. But the contract was, building something for a certain purpose that would generate money. And he usually didn't follow through with that.
he'd borrow money to do an experiment, and then he'd come back 6 months later and be like, hey, I need more money.
Yeah.
I'm doing my own thing now, but could you lend me just like another $100,000, man?
Yeah, and I'll have it done, I swear to God.
I swear this is the last time.
He burned a lot of bridges that way.
But what was Wardenclyffe?
It was basically this giant tower that was about 200 feet tall, wood framed, had this 70 foot diameter dome at the top and 60 ton steel. And it was supposed to just generate kind of like the endless energy, harnessing the natural energy of the earth. And Tesla planned to use the tower to achieve what the scientific community was thought to be impossible at the time. Global wireless communication.
Right.
Which we kind of have now today.
Wow.
And which is actually kind of based on Nikola Tesla's system.
He had a system, and it worked.
I don't think he had a system.
No, but the story is really cool. The story is that when he built this thing, he did this experiment where he transmitted electricity wirelessly, and he had his assistant plant light bulbs in the earth surrounding Wardenclyffe Tower, and I think it was really far away, like thousands of feet at least.
200 light bulbs.
Yeah, and so the light bulbs actually turned on. And we still don't know how the hell he did that. So thanks, Nikola Tesla, or FBI, for taking his notes.
Yeah, you fucking FBI, man. But using the earth itself as a conductor, that was like his whole mission.
Right, because he said the earth was actually a huge electromagnetic generator, pretty much.
Yeah, I think he wanted to create a lot more light. He saw the earth as like this giant generator. And he just wanted to turn it on.
Wanted to turn it on.
Come on, turn on.
And that's what he did.
Tesla for the Wardenclyffe, he would later state that his plans were to eventually make Wardenclyffe a hub, like city, for a worldwide system of at least 30 wireless plants similar to Wardenclyffe that would connect the whole globe.
Like nodes.
Yes, exactly. The Wardenclyffe's an interesting invention that was never finished because of funding that was cut off by J.P. Morgan.
Right. People say a few different things. First, they say, well, he funded him for 2 years, and he was supposed to, J.P. Morgan funded him for 2 years, and Tesla was supposed to come up with some results in like 6 months, and he never did, and so J.P. was like, fuck this, I'm out. But the other people say that, well, once J.P. Morgan figured out that Tesla intended to create a free source of electricity for everyone, J.P., J.P. Morgan was like, there's no money in that, so I'm not going to invest. And then he started actively investing in
other
Tesla's competitors, which Tesla had some major beef with a dude called Marconi.
Yeah, who, like, he took the award and reputation for creating radio or something.
Yeah, like, he took it a little bit further than Tesla as far as radio waves.
Yeah, he kept going.
And he was credited with more stuff, and Tesla was real bitter. In fact, he tried to sue Marconi when he needed money, because Tesla always needed money.
And there was also another investing company, I think called Westinghouse, or something along those lines. But these people invested large amounts of money into Nikola Tesla because they really believed in his tech.
And he was world famous for being so smart. Like, yeah. Everyone knew he was brilliant.
Yeah, and also so brilliant he was kind of mad. Like, what Nikola Tesla envisioned for the tower wasn't complete, so he couldn't test it. He couldn't put the dome on the top, which is what was needed to send the signals and the
electric... To Martians.
To Martians and have Mars attacks. But some speculate that Tesla was inspired by the Egyptian pyramids when he built Wardenclyffe Tower.
That's what I heard, is that it had properties that were similar to pyramids at Giza.
The Great Pyramid of Giza, you might know, is the biggest pyramid. There's supposedly sacred geometry and math behind it, but
An Ancient Aliens episode.
Yes.
I love it.
But I find it's aliens. Interesting. It's interesting that we supposedly didn't know the Great Pyramid had 8 sides until 1940, when British Air Force pilot Groves accidentally discovered it and took a photo. It has very subtle concave indentations that can only be seen from the sky. So if you're looking at it from the ground, it's got 4 sides. If you're looking at it from the sky, it's got 8. Nikola Tesla built Wardenclyffe as an octagon. It has 8 sides, and I think there could be something that's either related to energy or some, like, esoteric ideology.
An ancient astronaut theorist think that he's an alien himself.
They do.
That was putting.
He apparently has an elongated skull, too. Nikola Tesla. He does.
That is curious, though, about the pyramid and the octagon.
Isn't it?
Because the Wardenclyffe. I also heard that the river underneath, there's a river going underneath the pyramid, and he built
a river.
He built Wardenclyffe atop a river as well. So there's something with that where I think it might help with the energy generation in some way.
Yeah, he was really trying to replicate what the Egyptians made, because Tesla, he basically believed that the pyramids were energy generators capable of producing limitless energy. And his theory was based that because the pyramids are made of conductive materials, which is granite, limestone, and could transmit energy. And I think they've actually even found, like, copper pipes below it. It's kind of weird.
It's definitely not a tomb. They've kind of discounted that, because for the longest time they were like, well, it was made as a tomb to some king.
Yeah, or a big old library.
But it just doesn't make sense.
Like, how long would it take you to find that book, son?
It makes way more sense that it's a generator of some kind with the shafts and the the air vents and the sort of generator-like power underneath it.
As ancient astronaut theorists speculate.
Aliens.
Suggest. I think, actually, if you watch some videos, there's even, I think, some slight evidence that there were some high-charge blasts or explosions inside of the pyramid that caused burns, right. Permanent burns.
They thought it was just erosion and weathering, but you can't make that.
You got to look at the ancient astronaut theorists.
Guys. Yeah, they're onto something.
Yeah.
It's curious, regardless, the similarities with Wardenclyffe and the Giza pyramids. And one thing about Tesla that I got to say, too, is that he was known throughout his whole life as having a super crazy sleep schedule. It's reported that he didn't sleep more than 2 hours a night.
He must have been so fucking tired all the time.
Probably. That's probably why he was so cranky. And when speaking about the thrill of inventing, Tesla said, "Such emotions make a man forget food, sleep, friends, love, everything."
Inventions?
Yeah, the thrill of making something. It makes you forget everything, including sleep. And even early on in his career, his teachers and colleagues were worried about him literally killing himself through overwork. But the thing is, Nikola Tesla's sleep schedule actually isn't anything new. Great inventors and artists in the past, people like Da Vinci, Salvador Dali, and even Albert Einstein, were known for not sleeping much. Instead, they would take short naps frequently throughout a 24-hour period. This might sound insane to the advice of today, you know, get your 7 to 8 hours.
Sounds very insane.
But a schedule of many short sleeps throughout the day is thought to boost creativity, mental clarity, improve sleep efficiency, and also, obviously, you get more time in the day.
You hear that, people? Stop going to sleep.
This concept is called polyphasic sleep schedules, and many people have adopted it as a way to get more shit done. Is it healthy or sustainable? Probably not. This is not advice. Don't skimp out on sleep, you know? Regardless, he was a really busy guy, so I could see why he would want to skip sleep.
But yeah, Nikola Tesla was, in essence, an electrical engineer, a mechanical engineer, a visionary futurist, and pretty much a wizard who raced against the clock to create inventions that continuously surged through his mind in vivid detail. This visualization, it was like a superpower for him. Claiming that he could envision entire machines inside and out, down to the angle of its screws. And that image could keep in his mind for years until he was able to actually work on it. He was one of the few inventors who didn't need that many notes or blueprints. Paper. Like, he could just do it from his fucking mind.
I heard he hated blueprints because he failed art class, so he really didn't like those.
No. I bet he failed art class because he was too smart for art. But despite his lifelong study and success, Tesla never won the Nobel Prize. He did, however, receive the Edison Medal, which he wasn't super fond of, considering it was named after his competitor, Thomas Edison.
Yeah, I heard that when he was awarded that, he left the ceremony to go feed the pigeons, and they like sent a search party after him. Everyone was looking for him. Because he just didn't give a shit about an award.
He cared more about pigeons.
The secrets to the universe lie in pigeons. Feeding pigeons.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. Because that's what he did for the last 10 years of his life. Was talk to pigeons. What kind of car does an electrician drive?
Oh, gosh. What?
A Volkswagen. Pretty yeah. Good, right?
Yeah.
There's a sweater I bought. It was picking up static electricity, so I returned it to the store. They gave me another one free of charge.
Wow.
Yeah, those are terrible.
Good. You're done? Okay.
Yeah, but, yeah. Nikola Tesla, man.
That quote, though, many people know the quote, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. That quote that Tesla said way back in the day, I'm guessing around, like,
Early 1900s, maybe.
Probably early 1900s. It sounds like a hippie saying, but we now know with science and stuff that... I sound like Justin Long. With science.
And stuff.
And stuff. That energy makes up everything.
Electrolyte.
So you might ask, you might be like, well, if everything is energy, if I'm energy, if this banana's energy, then what's the difference between our energies? And the answer to that lies in vibration.
Frequency, too.
Right. So vibration is the periodic back and forth motion of particles, commonly resulting when almost any physical system is displaced from its equilibrium condition and allowed to respond to the forces that tend to restore equilibrium. Or, in a less weird way of saying, you could say at the atomic level, particles constantly move, and it's this movement that creates oscillating wave patterns. Depending on the composition, different substances will vibrate at different frequencies. So I think Tesla was on the money when he said everything is about frequency, energy, and vibration.
He wasn't quite on the money. He didn't have any money.
That's true.
Like, he knew the secrets to the universe except money.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though, that everything you just said, like, I think he understood some kind of fundamental law, whether it's quantum physics or electrical related shit. He understood it, but he couldn't exactly unlock it, or he didn't know how to use it. And he was starting to try to tap into that with the Wardenclyffe Tower on a huge scale, but, you know, it was shut down. But it would be interesting if J.P. Morgan had backed him to the very end, like what today would look like. If there'd be a bunch of fucking Nikola Tesla towers everywhere and you don't even need an outlet anymore. Everything's powered wirelessly. You got levitating cars. You got everything you think of the future is going on right now.
And no energy bill.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame. Or not a shame. It's just sad that his genius was sort of snuffed out by money. By financial success. Sort of stumped him. If he was like fucking Bruce Bane or Christian Bale.
Bruce Bane. could find Bane or Bruce Wayne. if they had a kid, they got married. Bruce
Bane. Did I say Bruce Bane? Bruce Bane. He was like Bruce Wayne and all the money in the world. I think today would look a lot different.
And that hits on something. Let's conclude Tesla's story. What happened after he sort of got shut down? So he rose to fame pretty fast. He had all of these inventions. Everyone thought he was the shit.
He built this warden
and some borrowed dough. He built this Wardenclyffe Tower. He built this Wardenclyffe Tower. And then,
not completely.
This is when he kind of sunk into madness. And you could say he was always mad, but this is when he became more of a recluse. He wasn't delivering on his responsibilities that he had to get all of that money. And slowly, his reputation went down. And he became this more and more desperate dude who was writing letters to his lenders and being like, you have to give me money, please. I'm gonna build a death ray. You know, I'm gonna do all... He would make all these crazy promises of things he would do, but he just never really delivered on them. And
yeah, that's sad because some of these things he was claiming could have been true, but a lot of people just think he was making up shit to get money.
Right.
Like the death ray for the military.
Or the Martian stuff.
Yeah.
I think the fact that he could wiggle his toes and live till 145.
Well,
okay, let's not get into
that's
that.
That's fucked though. Up, man.
Who knows if that's true.
Yeah, it sucks, you know. He was burning bridges and feeding pigeons, man. But for basically a decade leading up to his death, Nikola was more or less broke and became increasingly reclusive and eccentric, spending much of his time in his New York hotel 3327, which he had moved into in 1933. He was known to feed pigeons off his balcony and in local parks, and even communicate with these birds. But, you know, unfortunately, due to, you know, his lack of funds and strained relationships, his vision of the future died with him on January 7th, 1943. At the end of his life, it's reported that his research was confiscated by the FBI, or Nazis. And it wasn't until recent years that it's been made public.
Right. Like they said, after they raided it, his apartment, and looked for all of his papers, that they didn't find anything. But it's like, that's exactly what they would say if they found something. And so you have this guy who's a myth and a legend.
And a pigeon feeder.
He was poor, you know, he was smart. He's got all of these traits, and it's really refreshing to see someone that not only can be so smart, but can go to such a deep, dark place, and to have all of these problems. Like, he obviously wasn't good with money. And it's unfortunate that you have this guy so smart, and he kind of shelters himself away. But at the same time, maybe it was his madness, his unhingedness, that allowed him to actually contemplate these things at a deeper level.
I think the lines got blurred between genius and madman near the end there.
Or maybe they always were.
Well, there you have it. Nikola.
We Nikola just unraveled Tesla. It.
We did.
Yeah, the we did. To the universe. Yeah, we did what he couldn't.
Yeah. My God, man. It is. It's amazing, his story. He came from nothing with 4 cents in his pocket and died with
nothing. Except, but he had a wild ride on the way there.
He may have died with nothing, not much in his pockets, but he contributed so much to the world. And what we have today is...
Oh, man, that needs to be on a Hallmark card right there.
My God.
You might be poor as shit, but you're smart as shit, too. So, yeah.
He gave it his all, and it's cool because he stayed within his character. He stayed true to what he wanted to experiment with. He didn't like fall to the whim of these giant corporations and investors like JP Morgan. He kept doing what he wanted.
He had a straight spine.
Straight spine is more divine, man.
All right. Well, before Dana breaks and do another rap, this has been Mayan.
And this is Dana over here.
Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
Where we have talked about the man who made the future. Yeah. Not sold the future. That's a David Bowie song, isn't it? If you guys enjoyed the episode, make sure to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube.
Or if you're listening on Spotify, make sure to like and follow us. And also, rating the show is a huge help.
And if you guys really enjoyed the show, consider checking out our Patreon, where you can become a supporter of this podcast.
This madness. Yes, if this episode shocked you or electrified you, follow us.
And if you guys have any topics or interesting things you want us to know about, or you just want to say hi, you can reach out. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm going to sit at my computer until one of you emails me.
He will. So you better do it.
Oh, well, diapers.
And we will see you guys in the next episode.
Fare thee well.